Beth.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is Everything is Rent, the podcast where we go song by song and talk about the best musical of all time, Rent.
We have a very special guest here to talk about Out Tonight. You may know her from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. You may know her from a Harry Potter musical in New York City that we did.
You may know her from my Improv 201 class and subsequent practice group slash we did one show, one improv show in 2006?
I mean, we all know her from that.
Everyone knows her from that.
Wait.
Well, I think it was Shark Tank after you were not doing it anymore.
Alana Glazer was also in that group. If I'm thinking of the same improv group, it was...
Aubrey Plaza.
No, I was never on a group with Aubrey Plaza.
Oh.
You're thinking
I was
of
in
a
group with Abby, but never Alana. Were you in Secret Promise Circle, that improv group?
No, you, me, Alana Glazer were in an improv group together.
And look how we've all done for ourselves. Anyway, did we say your name?
Yeah, no, we haven't yet. It's Rachel Bloom.
Hello. Hi. Welcome. This has been late 2000s improv talk.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. Thanks
slightly
for listening.
A slightly more niche podcast than the actual one that we're doing.
If you want to get really niche for 1 second, I'm going to lose most of the audience right now. There's this website called the Improv Resource Center.
Uh-huh. The IRC.
It is not active anymore, I don't believe. Is it?
I haven't looked at it in a long time.
I don't
time.
Think so. But it was like a message board.
Yeah, the IRC is, it was a message board. Board from like 2002 to like 2011, and oh man, my husband and I fell in a rabbit hole of looking at our old posts on the IRC the other night, and most of the bits just really don't hold up.
No, did you post improv crushes? There was a long thread about your improv crushes.
Oh no, I didn't do that.
Did
you?
No, but I would look every day to see if anyone posted me.
Same.
Oh my God, really?
No one ever posted me, I don't think.
I got a poster too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, no big deal.
Well, I wasn't good at that time.
Someone found, I think they've taken it off, but like for the longest time I had my full resume on the IRC, including my phone number, which I still have.
Yeah.
And a fan did a deep dive Google search on me and I think found that page.
Oh my God. Oh wow.
And this is like a couple years ago at this point. And basically catfished me on my own phone number.
Oh my God.
Basically sent me a text being like, hey, is this Kevin? And I was like, sorry, it's not Kevin. And like pretended to have the wrong number and was like, oh man, I met this person on a blind date. And I guess they fooled me with the wrong number to like pluck at my heartstrings.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And then it like became... They were like, oh, I'm just looking for someone who loves Hamilton and science. Like it was this crazy thing where they hooked me in. And I eventually like told them who I was because we had this long conversation. I had a long conversation with this person. Like they earned my trust.
That's and, like, so manipulative.
And to the point where like I mentioned to my husband that night, I was like, okay, this is really random. I got the text from this person. They're a guy living in Boston. And like they seemed like this amazing guy. And I was like, should we set him up with Callie, who's like a friend of ours that was living in Boston at the time? And I showed him the text and he was like, actually, this looks pretty legit. And then the next day I like texted this person to be like, hey, I don't know if you're still down to be set up with someone, but I talked to my husband and this girl's single and they went, oh, hey, Rachel, I didn't think you'd ever text me back. Here's the thing. I went a deep dive. I found your number, blah, blah, blah. And it ended with like, at the end of the day, I'm just a girl who knows no boundaries. So it was a girl the whole time.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a crazy thing. So I contacted the Improv Resource Center. I tried to contact, I think it was like Nate Dern. It was someone.
Kevin Mulaney.
Kevin Mulaney started it.
It was whoever was listed as like the admin of the now defunct Improv Resource Center. I was like, can we get my phone number off the internet? Anyway, after this podcast, I'll check to see if it's still on the internet or I'll just change my phone number. Whatever.
Yeah. You have a couple weeks.
Yeah. You're
before
you're fine.
It comes out.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with that.
That's been episode two of Improv, like 2000s Improv Talk. And we've already done two episodes of another podcast.
I'm so sorry. I've just done the thing that I hate about podcasts with comedians, which is them talking about things that have nothing to do with the topic of the podcast. And I hate it. And I'm sorry.
Well, I'll just segue us right into the topic of this podcast, which is Rent. And so we usually ask, like, what's your experience with Rent? I'll share already a thing I know you did, which is you had a sketch show. There was a scene where people sang Seasons of Love in Klingon.
Correct.
Yeah. So you...
And that's all I'll say about that. No.
Yeah. You love Rent. You know Rent? Or how do you feel about Rent?
It's embedded in my DNA. I saw Rent when I was like 11, when it first came to LA in the first national tour. And it was incredibly, you know, it's a very inappropriate show. And I became just obsessed with it. And it became the way I like aired my preteen angst. I mean, yeah. I didn't listen to rock and roll. I didn't listen to metal. You know, I would just, when I was feeling bad, I would just crank like December 24th, 9 p.m. Like that's how I decompressed. And so my first sketch show in New York was this musical sketch show that took place within the context of like a bad cable access show all about musical theater, kind of like what you'd see on like Taxi TV. And it was like, let's look at all these musicals that are coming out. And one of them was a production of Rent that takes place on the planet Klingon.
Great.
And so it was singing Seasons Great. Of Love in Klingon. And I'm very proud of that. And
it was very good.
Thank you so much. And I have such a primal, I know every word. I know every word of it. I mean, I want to say I played Your Eyes for a piano recital. I love it. And then when I play it for friends of mine who aren't musical theater geeks, I see the pained look in their eyes and I understand where it's coming from. I get it. I know it's like cheesy at this point and, you know, it's all this kind of fake. I have one friend in particular who hates it whenever musical theater tries to sound like cool music.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever, like, he does not like Hamilton for that reason. No, this person specifically detests Hamilton, which just also makes me feel better about my own work that, like, if I have someone out, a friend out there who hates Hamilton, art's fucking subjective. Like, yes, nothing, I am never going to create someone who, a piece of art that everyone is going to love if my friend hates Hamilton.
Because Hamilton's the closest I think anyone has ever gotten to, like, the most people
something
liking
a piece of art. Loves.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and really just, I mean, reaching all corners of the universe. And so I understand that it's very of its time and there are some dated things. I mean, the biggest problem I have with Rent is that in real life, Jonathan Larson was working his ass off at a diner the whole time he was writing musical theater. And the day he quit the diner, there's a video of him quitting the diner, his last paycheck. And it was, I think it was when Rent started to play off Broadway. I could be wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Rent, no one has a job. Everyone wants just to be squatters. No one's working their ass off. And so that's the one kind of part of the story that I don't love, because it makes it seem like in order to be an artist, having a day job is selling out. And I think that's a really dangerous thing to say.
That's a great thing to bring up, because everyone who hates Rent is usually like, oh, well, why don't they just like pay their rent? But this is a great way that like still shows the love of Rent and the love of people who are artists. But yeah, the reality of it is like everyone has like 100 jobs and is working their ass off.
Because a lot of them do have jobs. Mm. Mimi works at the Cat Scratch Club. Joanne's a lawyer. I guess, I mean, Mark and Roger, who are the main people not paying their rent.
Well, okay, Maureen is, let's talk about Maureen though, because Mimi works at the Cat Scratch Club. She comes from a poor family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question of, but she's, I'm 19, so she's 19. She doesn't have a college degree. So like the amount of jobs she can get are limited. And that's when you start to get into like the socioeconomic, like what's her place? Like, is there a glass ceiling that Mimi, you know, would have theoretically reached? But then you have someone like Maureen, who's just kind of an artist, a self-indulgent artist to be a self-indulgent artist. And like, you're not going to tell me that Maureen doesn't come from a background where like she could have like gotten a job working at Dairy Queen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Maureen, are we 100% sure she doesn't have a job?
We're not necessarily.
She's dating Joanne, who's quite rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a full-time job.
That is a full-time job to date Joanne.
But
I don't know.
It doesn't feel like they like live together or like a permanent thing, because Maureen just started dating Joanne within the past couple months. Because she was dating Mark before.
Right.
I think Maureen works at Charles Schwab. Well, just never bring it up.
And I know that whole thing, because it, even though it was written, what, 94, 95, it takes place in between 1989 and 1990 and Reaganomics like fucked over a lot of people. And so, but I just, I always, knowing that Jonathan Larson, while he was an up and coming musical theater writer, was slaving away at a diner to make rent.
Yeah.
That just, that part annoys me just like a little bit.
That is interesting, and Mark is his analog in the show, and so why not? I mean, you could just have thrown Mark in, like, maybe he works at the Life Cafe as a waiter, or it would have been very easy to give him a job.
Yeah. I mean, and he does that in, if you guys know Jonathan Larson's previous work, Tick, Tick, Boom.
A little bit.
Which is the show, the precursor to Rent, which is highly autobiographical, literally about an actor named, or a writer named Jonathan, who's writing musical theater. I mean, it literally just is autobiographical. And in that, he is a waiter, and there's a great parody of Sunday from Sunday in the Park with George about working Sunday brunch. And it's a very funny song. And so I just...
In Tick, Tick, Boom, there's a parody?
Yes, it's Sunday in the blue, purple, yellow, red diner. On the green linoleum stool sit the fools who should eat at home. And it's all about doing Sunday brunch in New York. And that's just the one, that's a part of Rent that, that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
When you were 11
and
you saw Rent, what did you love? What was your favorite part?
La Vie Boheme. Loved that. I loved Over the Moon. And then I was very confused by Contact, which I'm still very confused by.
Oh,
I'm really confused. I, okay, it's years later now, and not to brag, I've had sex since.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. That song doesn't make any more sense to me. I think I missed Don't Be Pissed. What is she talking about?
Yeah, like, I agree. My only response is...
What would someone miss?
I've never understood that. I also thought until recently that it was a literal orgy where they were all sleeping with each other. And I was like, don't do that. It's a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
It's not. It's representational. They're all in their own.
Yeah, they're all having sex.
Homes having
and
sex.
And are they
with
having bad sex? Or is it
they're
just
having bad. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like it's over. It's over. So everyone is having bad sex and that's why it's over?
Yeah. I think
because
it's.
Because she missed?
It's a representation.
Angel's dying.
Of, Angel's
dying. Well.
So they're. I think it is that they're trying to have sex to cover up the sadness that they feel in their real life. But then.
But that's when sex is really good.
Yeah, well, it's
I've not,
broken them
I've
up.
Not had that experience.
Okay. I feel like when you're trying to cover up for something, that's when, like, sex. But, like, I think I missed Don't Be Pissed. If you missed Joanne's clit, she'd know.
Maybe they have a... okay, well, here's a bad interpretation. It's a
We're going to get dirty right now.
It's a dildo. She went accidentally in her butthole.
But I think I missed... You wouldn't have to say that. You'd just be like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my guess.
But it wouldn't rhyme.
She's trying to squirt in like a specific place on the wall.
How do you
And you know
squirt?
That Joanne is going to get real mad if she doesn't squirt at the
on
exact
the wall?
Like,
I think I missed.
It's like a clown's mouth and she's trying to blow up.
Yeah. Also, like, if it means like the clit, like, I think I missed. What is that? Did Jonathan Larson understand clits? You don't, it's not like one time. You don't touch a clit one time.
Yeah.
You have to touch it over and over.
Yeah. I think that it must be squirting in a specific place.
Yeah, trying to hit that target on the wall.
If anyone can help me with this, I don't. And then latex rubber, like, right, because they're all using condoms, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never get on board with that song.
No.
It's insane. And it also... It goes immediately into Angel Dying.
Oh! My big note is just cut that song.
Sure,
yes. Cut the song.
Yeah,
we don't need it.
And it's one of those that is would probably have been cut had Jonathan Larson, you know, lived. And I think there's a bunch of stuff that could be improved upon in Rent, but it just is preserved the way it was when he died.
You know, and it's interesting because I always assumed he until like college that he had died of AIDS.
Sure. Everybody does.
And it's
I think.
Just, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Brain tumor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What if posthumously they had made it all like aneurysms? They were like, well, this is about Jonathan Larson. So
everyone has aneurysms. Get yourself checked for aneurysms. it's crazy.
Yeah. You said that when you play rent music for people, they don't enjoy it. Do you do that currently often?
Yeah, well, because I write on a musical show and there are people involved with the show who like aren't musical theater geeks at mm-hmm. all. And so I'll play Rent for them.
As like a reference point?
Yeah, like as a reference. I don't think we've done Rent on the show yet, actually. And you just see like they look pained by it yeah. because it's so, I guess, like overwrought, like, you know.
It is what everyone hates. Like people who hate musical theater, Rent has all of those things
yeah.
in it. Or not all of them. Yeah, but a lot
like
of them.
You listen to those fucking lyrics, man, and like
they're so
good.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But really, some of them so overwrought in a way that I love. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if I didn't like musical theater, it would be, yeah, it would be torture.
Yeah.
But I do like it.
I get it. I mean, I think we also all straddle. I find the comedians who love musical theater, we straddle the line of loving it and knowing why it's ridiculous.
Yes.
In a way that people who just love musical theater or even like working musical theater actors sometimes don't.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the people around you calling it out.
Yes.
And so we also live in a space of, I think, self-hatred just a little bit.
Yeah, you have to. I almost love it because of the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah.
I loved it forever and then realized it was kind of ridiculous and then just like doubled down on it. I was like, well, I'm going to love it even more.
Yeah.
Contact, bring it on. You're stupid and crazy and I can't wait to listen to you again.
I would always skip Contact.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm listening through,
I don't know that song half as well as every other song.
Yeah. It is the only part of it I can even think of right now is Angel singing Take Me.
Yes.
Over it.
Yeah.
And then, I missed Don't Be Pissed.
Did Collins fuck him to death? Because that's also, is that what they're saying?
No. Okay. I'm certain that's not, but I.
Are you certain? Because maybe we don't exactly know how Angel died.
There's no doctor that comes out, sir. You fucked your partner to death. Do you, have you seen Rent since that?
Yes.
You must have.
I've seen it, you know, I saw it in, the last time I saw it was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So it's been
also
a
tour in when I came to LA.
It was a like local production. It was like a local LA production, but it had this guy who was later on American Idol. What's his name?
Oh.
Constantine?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I saw him in.
He was Roger.
Rock of Ages.
Yeah. So he was Roger, but it was before American Idol.
Oh, wow. And?
He's great.
Yeah.
That's
he was very good in Rock of Ages.
He's a great singer.
He's a very talented man.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to
American
Constantine.
Idol knew what they were doing with yeah. that Constantine.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you never saw it on Broadway, off Broadway, in New York?
No. No, I did not.
Yeah.
Great story.
we've cast you in it. We've done like cast Rent with current people on this podcast before. Oh. And we've selected you to be Maureen in
Thank you.
Obviously. And
that is definitely on the list of dream roles.
It's coming up for television.
What do you mean?
Next year. They're doing a Rent Live.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there a campaign we can start? What should we tweet? What hashtag should we use?
No, I'd like to do it. Here's the thing. Those live shows
are perfect.
It's like you get one shot. I don't know.
I'm
a little resentful of the live musicals a little bit because I have a musical show where we're writing 2 to 4 original musical numbers every fucking episode.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh my God, it's Jesus Christ Superstar. And it's like, yeah. Okay. I'm just a little bitter. I'm a bitter at everything like my show that gets more credit than my show because I'm a bitter person.
Well, it is annoying that they're like, oh my gosh, how did they mount a live production of a musical? It's like, what are you talking about? That's
what it's built for.
That's literally what musicals are.
It's not impressive. It's just, although
it's a bad version of it because it's like they're mounting something that is
actors.
Built for the stage and your show is built for television.
Yes. But no, it's really cool. So anyway, yeah, let's mount a campaign.
Let's do it.
Great.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm like just waiting for them to announce. It'll probably be a while because it's next January. Although they have to announce it soon.
They're casting right now.
Oh, it's next January?
Mm-hmm.
You mean January 2019?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Oh, wow. Because
I'm still filming Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
All right. Okay. Well, so maybe they'll push it. Once this campaign really... I'll
tell you one thing. They won't. No, they won't. They won't at all.
Okay. Well, I think you should reassess your priorities.
I think we just need a few different hashtags. Cast Rachel Bloom. Please push the date back. Accommodate her schedule.
Hashtag please push the date back. Mm-hmm.
Also, she should have first choice of snacks.
Hashtag also. Any hashtag that starts with also is a successful hashtag. Because that would be who you would play in it, obviously.
Oh, that's the only, I mean, I think in general for any white woman, that's the only role you should play.
Yes.
Should not play Mimi, and I don't think you should play Joanne.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
My sister is a quarter Korean, and she did play Mimi in a regional production.
Okay.
But she's a kind of a person of color, so I don't mind it. Also, it was in Alabama, so they were
Wait, like, just your sister's Korean?
We both are. I'm a quarter Korean as well.
Listen, I was Sarah's parents had two kids. One is
I don't know. Maybe she's like somehow your quarter sister.
I do have a wild family that is like lots of. I have a foster brother who's he's black and Chinese. I have two stepbrothers who are just white, I think.
And they all, as a family, they put on a production of Rent.
Yeah. I don't get a whole lot of roles.
But. Wait, I didn't know you were quarter Korean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure you get people saying that to you all the time when they find that out.
But my sister really, like, she says she's a quarter Korean, and they're like, only a quarter? Like, she has darker skin and more Asian features, I guess.
I saw your sister in American Idiot.
Yeah.
That's very, so which parent is half Korean?
My dad's half Korean, and he was born in Seoul.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm kind of a first generation American on that side.
How much, this is not what the podcast is about, but how much do you identify as, I think the term is Hapa, right? Mm-hmm. How much do you identify with like Hapa and Hapa culture?
I've been identifying it more truly within the past couple of years because shout out to Asian AF, which is like a show at UCB that is Will Choi organizes it, produces it, and has like, it's all Asian comics and musicians and it's a monthly show, and it's he really like reached out to me because I always felt like a white person who is Asian, but no one wanted me in that group. And he reached out and wanted me in that group. And it's been really, just like within the past couple of years. So it's a weird, I've always known I was Asian and wanted to belong, and recently have kind of felt like it. So it's cool.
That's really, I have learned a lot about being Asian American from doing my show because the lead is a Filipino guy, and it's real. I mean, we had this actor on our show, Jay Hayden, who plays Dr. Shin, who's like my character tries to kill herself, spoiler alert, and she gets like another therapist, and he is I think his mother is Korean, and but he always gets, like, when he's auditioning for roles, either, like, you're not ethnic enough or, like, you're too ethnic, because he's in what some people perceive to be, like, that middle space, and it's very hard for him.
Yeah, it is a weird – I will go out for – my manager will send me out for Asian roles, and I'm always like, thank you, but that I'm not going to get it.
Yeah.
So I'll get, like, a mixed race role or the white woman role, but –
Right.
Or no roles. Maybe they don't cast
like
me.
Like in your family production of Rent, where they refuse to cast
you. They keep making me hold the spotlight, which is just a bunch of flashlights taped together, but I'm going to work my way up.
You know what? Switch the genders and be...
I'll be Mark.
Whatever you want.
Ooh, you know what? I want to be Roger. Yeah. That's who I really want to be.
Fun one.
He's got some good songs.
The men's songs are... You'd have, you got to completely change the keys. Because I tried to be Mark. I mean, our improv team for April Fool's Day got a suggestion from the audience and then performed a half hour version of Rent.
No way.
That we did fantastic. Choreographed, rehearsed.
We rehearsed it for so many hours.
Wait, that's unbelievable.
Thank you. We were very proud of ourselves.
Did the audience go nuts?
No.
I would say a third of the audience was really into it. A third of the audience hated it. And a third of the audience was like, what?
What is happening?
Is this a Harold?
And then afterwards, a guy was like, I brought my brother because I wanted him to see you do improv. And he was very angry, though.
That's unbelievable.
Thank you.
Oh, that's
Thank
so
you.
Fun. So you were like, okay, banana. Da-da-da-da-da, December 24th.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Because also, it starts with, the first lines of it are just dialogue describing what we're looking at.
It starts
at.
With a scene painting, yeah. Which is a classic improv opening.
Where they start like December 24th.
No, before that, they're like, we open on a loft with like a, you know, cord snaking in the window, plugged into an illegal wood burning, you know, whatever. They like scene paint or mark scene paints the opening. So we did that. I forgot. Mm-hmm. And then we had a pianist jump out on stage with us, start playing. I played Mark. Mm-hmm. The key is real tough for a lady. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. I would have been losing my mind.
We thought people would be more excited than they were, but I do remember reaching a moment of nirvana as we sang Seasons of Love. Oh, we came out in the front of the stage and it was the greatest. I felt so good. And I didn't care that no one in the audience really liked what we were doing.
So did you end the show like, hey guys, again, everything was made up. Thanks to the UCB, does improv every... Like,
I don't remember how we
just,
ended it.
We said happy April Fool's Day.
Oh, do you have a video of this?
Honestly, we didn't get... I have like a couple small videos that someone took on Snapchat.
Yeah.
I always want to see the moment where you bust into Rent. And the audience is super confused. Like, that's fantastic.
I can't believe we didn't get a video of it. Maybe there is one somewhere.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
And then there was a moment like the day of the show where I was like, what if? I would never have gone through with this because I wanted so badly to do Rent on stage. But I was like, what if 7 of the 8 of us go on stage and just do a Harold as a prank on one guy on our team who just spent many, many hours rehearsing, learning the role of Joanne. And just like, sorry, Andrew.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
But my desire to do Rent obviously went out over that, but it would have been very, very funny.
Would have been hilarious.
I mean, I kind of want to do that with Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Live. Just tell them they're seeing Crazy Ex Live and then just do like, I don't know, Sondheim's Passion or something.
That audience would freak
they actually
out
would
over
freak
it.
Out and lose their mm-hmm. mind. That is very true.
Yeah.
Or we would come and just have your improv group.
It's not anyone from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but it is Cardinal Redbird
most of these people are not trained in musical theater, just an improv group that no one's ever heard of performing Rent.
The 25 minutes that we felt was like the most important part of it.
It was all the big songs from Act One and Seasons of Love.
And then we ended and I just did a narration was like, and then they all died of AIDS at the end. Because you can't get all the way through.
Oh, the plot of Rent is, you know... kind of incomprehensible. Well, because I saw the opera La Boheme semi-recently.
Uh-huh.
And La Boheme is, you know, it's hard to follow. A lot happens.
Yeah.
And Mimi dies and she just dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because La Boheme is also, you know, Moulin Rouge, I think is also like an imagining of La Boheme. I mean, I imagine it is.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these stories have, in general, the idea of, a guy who needs a muse getting inspired by a woman and then she dies. I mean, the same thing a little bit with Cabaret. She doesn't die, obviously.
Yeah. The plots of operas never make sense,
no,
I think.
Sure.
It's a hot take. I'm going to say there's no opera where the plot makes
That's
any sense
not
at
true.
All.
Shots fired. Opera community responds.
Take us down, opera.
Now, that's what they should do at the Met is they should come out and just do a Harold. That would be fan.
And now Carmen.
We need a suggestion of some illness your daughter would die of in the 1700s. Great.
Pavarotti comes out.
Hello. We will be... This is called a mono scene. No one has done their dishes. I am mad, roommates. I am Penn.
Oh, they're doing an invocation.
They're doing an invocation. Sorry, this is getting really niche. An invocation is an improv warm-up where you pick an object and you explore all of the aspects of this object that there are to explore.
Mm-hmm. It's an opening so you can inspire scenes.
Yeah.
Or a warm-up.
Hey, here's what's happened. Is I came onto this podcast to try to like appeal to the musical theater crowd. And in doing so, we've only talked about improv. So no one's listening anymore. This podcast is for me.
Will you listen?
You guys.
Do you listen to yourself after you go on podcasts? I do not.
Sometimes I will to see what I've said. If there's anything smart or anything inflammatory that I need to then like respond to. I usually am pretty well spoken.
Yeah.
Sometimes listen. Also, I'm a fucking attention whore.
Yeah.
I love having attention.
Sure. Attention's great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that there are a lot of artists out there who are like, oh no, I can't stand attention. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, right.
What are you doing, man?
Then why are you doing this? You know, you don't have to do this.
Mm. Yeah.
Like when Kristen Stewart was on stage at the Oscars presenting at like the Oscars like 6 years ago and she like didn't want to be there. I wanted to be like, no one made you do this.
Yeah, oh, you could remember that. Babe, say, no thanks.
Babe,
I don't want to.
Babe. No one made you do this.
Hey, Kristen.
You don't have to be there. You're very famous. Yes. It's okay. Turn it down. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Leave it.
Babe.
I once wrote for an award show. I won't say which show. But there was a host. I'm trying to not. Okay. There was a host. There was someone involved with the hosting and they were like.
Billy Crystal.
And they were like, this person doesn't want to be there. They would rather be home. They had to get talked into hosting. And it's like.
Yikes.
And at the time I was like, you know, an aspiring like actress and musical theater actress. And I was like, God damn it. Like, that's so hard to hear.
Yeah.
As an aspiring anything that someone doesn't want to be at like a fucking hosting a fucking award show. And I know that it's fear talking and I get it. Mm-hmm. But like just stay home. That's not fair.
Yeah. That's my new least favorite thing is the mentality of I'm going to act like I don't care about this to protect myself from potentially failing.
Mm, yeah.
So I'm going to phone it in. And then if I don't do a good job, it's because I didn't try versus just trying and maybe failing.
It's very scary. That was what I did a lot throughout college. A lot throughout a college? Throughout
tried,
a lot of
self-sabotage
college.
Or tried and failed?
Self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Like not trying so I could just be like, whatever. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do well anyway in that class.
I didn't even read that book. So whatever. It's like,
if I read the book,
well?
I would have schooled everyone.
Mm, yeah.
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 We have a song about that, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, called I Could If I Wanted To. Download the album on Apple Music or Amazon now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the Klingon Seasons of Love?
Yeah. I was actually trying to sing it the other night because Danny Jollis, this guy who's on my show, who plays the character George, was in that sketch. And it went, Vach Big Choat. It's online.
I love it.
Incredible.
So much.
It's hard because Klingon is kind of a mix of, there's like Hebrew in there, so it's very guttural.
Okay.
And it's very, I think it was created by a Jewish guy. Oh, he's losing it.
This is the only time our engineer has ever enjoyed the podcast. And he is weeping.
And then what happened, actually, when I translated Klingon Seasons of Love, what I did originally, I had a friend who said she translated, so I went ahead with the sketch. It's like a week and a half before the show and she still hasn't translated it. And she's like, I'm sick. And I'm like, what's happening? And she was fine. She had a cold and she was just being lazy. I don't know. So I went online. So I tried to self-translate it with Google Translate because Google Translate had Klingon. And then I went online and there's a free translation service where people will translate things out of Klingon out of the goodness of their heart. Mm. It was a guy in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
No, guy in Germany. It was a guy in Germany. And he like... I still have the email somewhere. I sent him my own translation and he was like, this is a horrible Klingon translation.
Wow.
Was really mean about it and walked me through his Klingon translation. He's like, okay, so there's no like really word for like love in Klingon. So you're going to have to say like the equivalent of like the like feelings of affection that I have around you. So like it's a very translating. It's actually very complex emotions to translate into Klingon.
Yeah.
Because they are a warlike people.
There's not a lot of love happening.
Yeah. Well, what a treat that was.
Oh my God.
I think it's time
to talk about the song.
Yeah, we're going to listen to Out Tonight. And here we go. And due to Apple rules, we must talk over it. So we'll talk. Yeah. In case you were wondering if you can talk over it, you can and you must.
Oh, because if you just play the song, then they'll be like, can't be me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Can't be me.
We got a voicemail that said exactly that.
Excuse me. This is Steven Sondheim.
Hi. How are you?
Copyright.
Get your number. Bang. Improv.
Center.
Why are you calling?
I work Steven Apple.
You are my improv crush.
Steven Sondheim.
Oh my God. I love when you did Rent. See, and that, guys, is what's called a callback in improv. One might call it Connection Island.
Hey, one might. We mentioned several things all in sort of a contextless mishmash. Okay, here comes Out Tonight.
Great.
Great.
Ugh. So sexy.
Yeah.
I would try to, I had a full length mirror in my room growing up, and I would try to like dance to the song in front of it.
Yeah.
And I would fail.
Because during that start, she's just like stomping out, like looking sexy.
And is she pole dancing in this, or am I misremembering that?
She's on like the stairs. Yeah. She's doing sexy dance like on the balcony, down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Be the cause of a fight. I don't think I could ever do this song and not just do a Daphne Rubin Vega impression at this point.
It's very much burned into my brain in this exact way.
From Wave. Can we sing along with it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Steven Sondheim would love that.
Get up, life's too quick. I know someplace sick, but this chick will dance with a flame.
She was talking about Cafe Europa there.
Is that what she's talking about?
No.
Oh, that's the worst part about the movie when, like, they walk by an au bon pain, and it's like, guys, did you not have the budget to, like, try to simulate Alphabet City in 1989?
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the movie.
It's not great! Wouldn't recommend!
We gotta get someone on who, well, Zeke loves the movie, I guess.
Yeah.
It's, look, listen, it's not great.
Okay. She says we won't be back before it's Christmas Day, but it is Christmas.
It's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And then...
So we won't be back until tomorrow, which is not far away.
Not far, yeah.
All right.
I think she says New Year's Day in the movie.
They realized it didn't make sense.
Yeah. Online. I didn't understand it until I moved to New York.
Yeah. I also didn't. I didn't get it till just now, and now it's... together.
Because no one could go online.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have to go.
We'll get to that one in a bit. Right.
It's the best. You know, her fashion in Rent was just based on her. That's how she feels.
We have a picture of her where she just looks like Mimi. Yeah.
She auditioned for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and I lost my mind. She auditioned for Paula.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And that's all. The people who walked into audition for Crazy Ex during our New York auditions were insane, including Donald and Jamblin. I was freaking out.
Yeah, of course.
I was freaking out.
Donald is so good.
Oh,
I love her so much. Mm. What a different character that character would be if it was Daphne Rubin Vega.
Oh yeah.
That's so funny.
And those auditions are like when I learned like all that shit you're taught that like talent is this binary thing that like if you're good you'll book everything. It's not. It's
no,
just
no.
Like yeah. It's I even think the word talent is like a misnomer. It's I don't know. Please take me. Wait, have we done the bridge yet?
Yeah, about the sad part. Yeah,
that already happened.
Yeah,
We can talk about it after this.
It went by so quickly.
Yeah, where the Spanish babies from?
I'll let you make me.
Yeah, yeah. Like fuck me.
I don't know. I wanted to talk about that line.
I'll let you make me. Have you Googled these lines?
No.
I'm sure if we Google, I'll let you make me. There's like a probably someone's dissertation about it, right?
Got a little ad at the end of that.
I'll let you make me.
I think it's like, isn't that sex slang?
I assume.
That's like 1950s, like, did you make it?
Well, there's a few of those in Rent. Like, there's like, in one of the previous songs, like, don't poo-poo it, and like...
don't poo-poo it.
They call a dog a cur and stuff. So there is like some of like outdated, let you make me. Did you make
me? She says it like so forcefully.
Yeah.
Do they ever say like, let's fuck in Rent? Do they say the F word?
Not in the context of having sex, I don't think.
When do they say the F word?
Fucking weird.
Oh, God.
I do say fucking weird.
Yeah. Well, I love Out Tonight. What a song. I mean, how fun as a kid to like do the slide on the out, you know? What a smart, like, she's like... She's an animal in this. She's howling.
Yeah, she like howls. She's like swinging all over those stairs and like singing upside down a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is the show slightly male gazey still?
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Everything written by a man is male gazey slightly, I think.
Yeah. Cause that's where their eyes go. That's how their eyes look.
They gaze
outside of a male's head. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like guys, like apparently, like, walk around and like want to fuck everything.
You're saying that's the case?
Yeah.
All guys just walk around and want to.
No, I've talked about this on other podcasts. I'm repeating myself. But like, yeah, like that's like how like guys work. Mm. They like walk around, they see like a hot, if they're into women, a girl or a hot guy. And it's really just people, it's like testosterone in general. Yeah. And they're like, oh, me want fuck. Oh, I'm a caveman.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't relate. And no. And that almost sounded sarcastic, but it is not at all. No. I do not relate.
If I see like a super ripped guy on the street, my first thought is like, okay, pal.
Oh, yeah.
We get it.
It's enough.
Oh. Okay, it's a lot it's right now. It's a bit now. Much. I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you so ripped?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've also never been into those super, super ripped guys.
No.
Good for you if you are super ripped. Congratulations.
Now I think there's sound something like wrong with you.
Now
though.
We sound like an improv... like kids fan, like improv guys fantasy. Like I've just never been into those hot guys. You know,
oh God,
I want a guy who gets like game really well, you know, and just like, I don't know, has glasses and like a slight paunch and like,
I hope he doesn't have sheets on his bed. Can't wait to go home. Can't wait to go home with a stinky man with no sheets on his bed.
And I hope there's just like a lot of gristle in his shower, you know, like I'm really into that.
I hope when we're in the shower together, he picks that moment to pee.
Is that
never happened to me, but it did happen to a friend of
that
mine.
That is so gross.
That's
where
terrible.
And he was just like, but this is where I pee. And she was like, but I'm in here with you.
That's
he was like, yeah, that's on me.
Also showering with someone is it's too much work, you guys.
Yeah.
Then one person's in the water and one person's not.
Yep. You need a very special kind of shower for that to work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Today I just got out of the shower to let him have the shower. I was like, you know what? I'm being selfish here. And then the second he got into the shower, he was like, oh, thank God.
Thank God there's no one in here with me.
He really, really let off.
Because he was also peeing, probably.
Oh, yeah. That's what guys do. They want to bang all the time and they got to pee in a shower.
Yeah. So what's happening? At what point does she go into their
home? God, we should talk about Rent.
Yeah.
It's you should edit this.
We do.
Okay, great.
We won't edit a single thing out. This is all going.
Because she's just singing this like in her place. And then at one point enters the apartment. I remember Roger just being so furious that she's invading his space.
And he's angry at her. Who do you think you are? Barging in on me and my guitar. Hey, little girl, hey, the door's that way. You better go, you know, the fire's out anyway. Why is he angry at her?
He's protecting himself.
Because the last woman he dated killed herself because they have AIDS. AIDS.
Yeah, he's like overcompensating for liking her in a very classic, jerky male way.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's like, there'd be another time, there'd be a long embrace, he'll do another dance. And so he's just like, I want to be alone right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he also just got back from rehab. Right. And she's clearly not sober.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so she might pull him back into his bad habits.
Right, because what's that? It's a candy bar wrapper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What did you want to say about the bridge? in the evening. I like to roam.
No, I just want to, I like it.
It's a fun little moment of realism like for this character.
It's a nice use of a bridge of the whole song is I want to go out tonight. And then it's like, okay, well, why?
Yeah.
Why does she want to go out tonight? I can't, you know, I can't stay in the city of
Neon and chrome.
Feels too damn much like home, where the Spanish babies cry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We learn a lot about her in this song. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's so young.
Yeah. She's 19.
Like, ugh. So young.
So young. How old are, how old is Roger?
I don't know.
Do we know?
Mid-20s? Early 20s?
I think they're all mid. If I had to guess, they're all like mid-20s. Yeah. Although Joanne's very accomplished.
Joanne's older. Collins is probably a little bit older because he's a professor.
Yeah. But yeah, this is how young people in New York behave, though. For real. Like, they're nuts.
Yeah.
Were you crazy? I mean, you went to college there, so it's a little bit different. But did you get into wild things ever?
No, I'm wilder now.
Oh.
I've definitely had a more of a, for whatever reason, like, I mean, I guess when we say like wild, like, you know, just, I don't know. I guess I'm thinking about like drinking and doing drugs. That happens much more now than it did when I was in school.
Yeah.
Like, I've tried more drugs since school.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I didn't do anything bad in school, but then I moved to the city right after, to New York City right after.
You know,
but you had already lived there, so it probably didn't have that appeal of like, I'm going to go nuts.
No, I mean, like, I definitely smoked weed. And actually, the way I first bonded with my husband, one of the ways is we would go on weed walks where we'd walk in the East Village and smoke weed. And I was scared. I thought we were going to get arrested, so he would just smoke. And
a weed a walk.
But you know, no one, because I was on a sketch comedy group for whatever reason, I was never at the parties where people were like doing coke or ecstasy. Like there were never like nights of partying that I really turned down in college because they weren't quite offered to me.
Yeah.
When I went to college,
the coke wasn't there. It was just like weed and drinking.
Yeah.
Sometimes ecstasy. But I mostly just drank anyway. But I went back to like teach an improv workshop and for the college students, and then like went to a college party and they were all doing coke, and it was so they were like loving it and whatever. And it was so uncool.
Yeah.
And they
doing coke and loving it.
I was such an old person too, because I was waiting in line for the bathroom.
Yeah.
And there were like five of them in there doing coke. And I truly was just like, I understand you guys are doing drugs. Can you do them somewhere else? Because I have to pee. But then they were also like tiny baby college kids. They were like, well, we can't do them in the living room because Carrie says that we can't do it in her bedroom. It was just like, so they were trying to be adults so bad, but then like couldn't break any rules. So they were just dumb.
What do college kids in a dorm need coke for? The whole point of coke is so you can like rally and like go different places.
Yeah.
But if you just go to like fucking Syracuse or something and you're just in one house, you don't need to rally for shit.
No, you can pass out. Other dorm. I'm too tired to go to the other dorm. Give me a bump of coke.
You don't need coke.
Yeah, also, you're 19 years old. You're not sleepy at all.
No, you're not. Coke is for old people.
Yes.
Where you get a little tired after some wine and then it's,
okay, let's stay up for a little bit longer and then I'll go to bed.
Yes. I've found that Red Bull just is fine. Like,
sure. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything bad. I'm very good. Yeah. Don't even drink Red Bull.
Really?
I never have.
Have you? Wait, have you smoke weed?
Yeah, a little bit.
But you haven't done any other drugs?
No, I've often, well, two times I've bought shrooms and then resold them because I got nervous about doing them. Yeah. I'm a regular Mimi over here.
I'm not a big drug person, but I'm a little less scared about dying.
Yes.
Now, for whatever reason, than I was in college.
I get more and more scared of everything every day. Mm. But back when I was in New York in my early 20s,
living it up,
fun times. You were saying that they changed Christmas Day to New Year's Day in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes more sense. Sure. Christmas Day is... Yeah. Well, she says, what's the time? It's got to be close to midnight.
My body's talking to me. It says, time for danger.
So it's midnight on New Year's Eve, on Christmas Eve. And then she's saying, yeah, we won't be back because
then they
Christmas
end up going
Day.
To the Life Cafe that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they get like a 1 a.m. dinner.
The timeline, I think, does not make sense.
Okay, so because sure. it's got to be close to midnight. He agrees to go out.
Because then they also have to go to the protest.
Oh, my God. Wait, Collins buys Angel a coat. Is it that
That's
night?
Later.
That's later. Okay.
Some time has passed, I think, before the coat song.
Wait. Another time, another. Is the next night La Vie Boheme, or is it that night La Vie
that,
Boheme?
That night. Because, mm-hmm. yeah.
They leave the protest and go to Life Cafe. And have lovey, and they have lovey. They have lovey.
God, so it's like almost midnight. Say like it's. Let's give them benefit of the doubt. Let's say it's 11 p.m.
Okay. Right.
So then they go to the Life Cafe.
Well, first they go to the protest.
So they go to the protest. So the protest is a midnight protest.
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. go to the Life Cafe. They order a lot of food,
mm-hmm. wine mm-hmm. and beer.
Wine mm-hmm. and beer. And then it tastes the same if you shut your eyes. And 15 orders of fries.
Is that it here?
By the way, so those are young people because like. If it's older people ordering 15 orders of fries at night and wine and beer, someone is going to be like, "Ugh, I gotta work out in the morning." You know, yeah. when mm-hmm. your metabolism slows down. So these are young people.
These are
who
young
don't
people
care.
Who can mm-hmm. eat and drink those things at 1 a.m.
Yes, and yep. won't and aren't afraid of like the consequences up to their weight.
Yeah.
Also, half of them have AIDS, so maybe that's not a thing that they're thinking about. Anymore.
Sure. Yeah. That'll keep. Never mind. I don't want to finish that sentence.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is going to be insensitive. And yeah. I stopped it right in the middle.
Great. We'll edit that out.
What else can we say about Rent?
About, well, so is this song a favorite of yours or is it sort
yeah.
of in the
oh,
middle?
Yeah. I would say
any song that I can scream, I'm on board with.
This,
and this is one
Bohem.
That you can really scream mm-hmm. out.
This is also a really good dancey song.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a great song to just fucking jam out to.
It's a conventional song. Like, what's yes. It's a verse, chorus, verse, chorus.
Mm-hmm. Verse, bridge, chorus, bridge. Verse, chorus.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's not like fucking Contact.
Yeah.
Do we like Contact? I forget.
Latex. rubber. Latex. Heat. Heat, time, drugs, time.
I think I missed
squirting on the bullseye.
Don't be pissed that I didn't squirt on the bullseye.
Wait, if we Google,
might have
I
to
think
have
I
you,
missed, don't be pissed.
We might have to have you back for Contact.
Yeah, great. Let's just look up I think I missed, don't be pissed really quickly and see
okay.
if there's anything.
Well,
it
auto-filled in meaning afterwards.
What does this red line mean? Thank you, Broadway World
perfect,
Message Board.
Perfect.
You're always there for me.
What does I think I missed?
And then someone said, someone links to,
FAQ.
But they link to compulsivebowlers.org and says it's in their FAQ.
Good.
Wait. I also say, okay. This person didn't help. Can't find it.
The line has to do with sex. Of course the line has to do with sex.
Missed the spot, aka no orgasm. You're welcome, says Dory the Nun.
Well, fuck. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
and then Cass says, I thought it had to do with a dildo.
It has to do with a strap-on dildo, which is commonly used by... Okay, so I think I missed.
So she just...
So put it in the
what do you
butt?
Mean, I think I missed?
Because, like, if you're wearing a strap-on dildo and you miss the vagina, you're only going in the butt.
Well, or did she just miss putting the dildo... Like, did the strap get a little fit? You know?
That could be it.
Dildos aren't always used by lesbians, and the line doesn't specify one. As stated above, Maureen has missed hitting the right spot for Joanne just as she was about to come.
But you wouldn't say, like, I think I missed, don't be pissed. You don't know if you're missing. Like, I mean, when someone's, like, going down on you, like, the spots are so specific, you can't know when you're missing it. When the other person says, you just missed.
This thread, by the way, got very sassy.
Oh, let's see.
Someone's Drama Mama 611 says, always so nice to see a 12-year-old thread revived by a newbie. And then Totally F2 posted it, said, in all fairness, I've never received a satisfactory answer to the question.
Yeah.
And that's there's no other relevant.
Jesus
there's
Christ,
nothing
Broadway
else
World.
Relevant to this. So
wait, just Google one more time. Was there anything else to answer?
Okay, let's see.
Redheads.
Why does more? Okay. Oh God, this website's terrible.
Oh, it's an Angel Fire website.
Oh, very good. Did you go to compulsive
bowlers?
There
are varied answers to this. Some say that she missed with a vibrator or a dildo, but some think Some think that is dumb. She'd know. Others say that she thinks she missed the dental dam or barrier they were using. What? But don't get pissed because she also doesn't think that put Joanne in any danger.
But Maureen doesn't have AIDS.
So she is saying, this is saying that she's like, don't be pissed. In fact, you shouldn't be pissed because I don't have AIDS, so it's fine. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Could use some clarity for sure.
Tweet at us, email us. What do you think? What do you think? What do
you
think, listeners?
I think it's a guy's, I honestly think that line is a guy's like misunderstanding of how women I think I missed the clit once. Don't be pissed. Like, that's not how you come.
It's like Maureen is like, I think I missed the moment. No, I don't have it.
Oh, like
it was going to be too revealing. No.
I know what you're going to say. It's like, oh, I could have come. And now it's like,
it's not going
to
happen.
I heard a weird noise.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And now I have to start back from square one.
That don't happens be to pissed. Me constantly. I'm hearing weird noises and we got to start.
No, or like, you, know brain, like, you just lost your trail of thought. Yeah. And now.
You have to really focus to come.
Yeah.
Like, you just do.
Especially
for women.
When you're aiming for that bullseye on the wall.
I think I missed the bullseye on the wall for my cum. Don't be pissed. I'll piss on it instead. Oh no, Angel.
Oh, Angel's dead.
Angel's dead.
We all just got a page. Angel's dead.
Beep, beep.
Is it AZT time? Nope. Angel's dead.
Angel's dead.
Well, I think it's time to move on to our final segment.
Yep. Oh.
Which is a special segment just for you. Which is, there's no game or anything to it. It's just,
you're not trying to trick me, unlike every podcast where there's a get going.
It's not a trick, but we have tricked some people, but not you. So this is just, what's a time you've come on too strong to a guy like Mimi and just Out like, Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Your favorite. Oh.
No, we will also answer too. So you're not alone here.
I have a story that I can lead off with.
Yeah. Yeah.
May jog something. I worked at a children's theater as a stage manager for a few summers, and there was a sound guy there that asked me out, and we went out on a couple dates, and he had a hat that said, "Show me your tits," and he wore it even to this children's theater, which I thought was very cool.
Great.
He lived with his mom.
Ugh.
He did not have a car in Denver, which is a red flag. But he was fine. But then I knew where he worked, which is not a good way to start a sentence. We got on like two dates. I was like, oh, he works at this other theater on these days. I'll just swing by when I know his work is ending and I'll offer him a ride home because he doesn't have a job or a car. He doesn't have a job. And he really didn't like that.
Oh.
Like, I just like showed up at the stage door of a theater he worked at and
sure.
he never spoke to me again.
That's was wild.
It was too much. I was like, we went on two dates. I'm going to drive you home from your, I'm going to like look up where you work and drive you home from your job.
That is maybe a bit of a red flag for you.
Yeah. I would like, I wish I could take it back. It was a crazy thing that I did.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah.
I think that like, this is going to be the boring answer, but you know, I think about Out Tonight. I think of like not only a woman coming on too strong and the guy's not interested, but I think of, cause he's interested. It's that he's not emotionally ready and he's being very male in that moment. And she's mm-hmm. being very, and I say like male in conventional terms, like he's being, I want to be alone. I want to be by myself. And she's like, no, let's go out. Come on, come on. And I definitely have, my husband is an extrovert, but compared to me, he's a much more private person because I have literally no boundaries and it's something I'm actively working on. And so I have had to learn over the years, like when he looks upset, sometimes I'll be like, are you okay? And be like, yeah, I'm fine. And I'll poke at it and be like, are you okay? Let's talk about it. And sometimes that helps. And sometimes like he just wants to be male and alone and sullen and mm-hmm. like, you know, sit and sulk and watch sports or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken me a while to learn that he needs that and to not take it personally.
Sure.
And to be confident enough in myself and our relationship. Well, he just needs that time to, you know, everyone processes things differently and they're not like me. They don't have to like expel every feeling that they're feeling at all times. Otherwise they'll die.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause when you're upset, do you want someone to like really dig and be like, why are you upset? Let's deal with it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I almost want to get it out. I want to cry.
I'm mm-hmm. the same. So I'm always like, yeah, I can't really handle someone being like, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but we need to process everything before we go to bed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You say you never did anything embarrassing with a guy you had gone on one date with?
I'm actually racking my brain because, like, in a lot of the embarrassing situations, the guy, maybe this is me excusing myself, I feel like the guy had led me on.
Sure.
So that when then overreacted or overcompensated and he's like, whoa, settle down. It's like, bitch, you were texting me all the time week ago and suddenly you're over it? That's not fair.
Yeah. Well, that's much more common for the guy to be, and then you express interest and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And you're like, you were interested.
I think that the biggest story of me being too much is the foundational crush I had from second grade to seventh grade. I had a crush on this guy, Zach, and I was so overtly into him and I would hang around him we were friends, but then I got unpopular and he didn't want to be stuck with with the taint of my unpopularity. And so he was like, go away. And aww, he got increasingly more hostile towards me, but it just made me love him more.
Sure.
To the point where he was kind of anti-Semitic. Oh. He'd make Hitler jokes just to get me to go away, but it only made me love him more. And that was a lot. Yeah. That was a lot. It was too much.
Sure. Yep. For him to do. Or for you.
For both. I mean, I just, dude, why are you doing this to yourself? Because that's kind of what it is why are you doing this to yourself?
Mm. Yes.
Why are you coming on this strong?
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to, I tried to think of one story, and just so much of my 20s was really trying hard to be cool and hot and hang out and be one of the boys, but also one of the boys that they want to kiss.
Yeah.
So much of
my- I feel like you've accomplished that.
Yeah. I got a boyfriend, so it worked out. Thank you so much.
We all have significant others, so we've all come out the other side.
Yep.
Whoa.
We found someone
who puts
up with us.
We're so cool.
But my first headshot photographer, he just took photos of me and was really nice.
Sounds like he wanted you bad.
Yeah. When he showed me, because it we met at his apartment to then go take photos, which is a very normal thing. And when he was showing me the proofs, because this was before everybody was doing digital, I hung out. It was it was a studio, and I was leaning against his bed and trying so hard to be oh, well, you like these photos of me now, so you must think that I'm cool and sexy. And he was super nice, and it wasn't so overt that I was kiss me or whatever, but it was pretty pretty sad, probably.
Yeah, I have a lot of situations like that where I was enamored with someone and they weren't into me, but I can't tell how much they noticed.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I looked like from the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the idea of leaning against something, of bending down and trying and pressing your tits together and making sure he knows.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they're clocking that. All I notice is they just hook up with someone else.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're okay.
Well, I guess that didn't work. I'll do the same exact thing to someone else.
Mm-hmm. And put on my bright blue leather pants. And,
I think I missed. Don't be pissed.
Great. You did it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
I hope I gave you some things that you can put in the podcast.
This is full of wonderful things.
There's only one thing to edit out.
Oh, really? I think you should edit more.
Okay. We'll send you a cut.
No. Not that it's bad. I'm just saying I did the thing that I don't like comedians doing and they ramble and I don't know if that'll be interesting to people.
Sure. Well, I know for a fact that
No one's listening.
So we're not catering to anyone.
Great. Fantastic.
So fuck them. No, it's great. Thank you so much
for joining us.
What a pleasure to have you right in the middle of your busy filming schedule. We really appreciate it.
Always time to talk rent.
Yeah. You can email us, listeners, your theories about Don't Be Pissed at everythingisrentpod@gmail.com.
You can Instagram us at everythingisrent. Tell us your theories about
I think I missed Don't Be Pissed.
Yeah. I don't have our handles open on my computer anymore.
You can hit us up on Twitter at @everything_rent.
Yes, of course.
Also, please go on iTunes and rate and review us. That would be so. And it just only rate and review nice things. So.
Yeah. As I've said before, I cannot handle a mean one. So please, only nice things. It's important.
We want to thank Zach Reno for doing our music. James Mulholland for doing our art. And Mark David Christensen, our perfect engineer. We love him so much.
He's the best. No?
No.
No? Okay, goodbye.
We Rebel is back for season two.
I'm Emily.
And I'm James. And this season, we're interviewing guests who are tackling issues from education reform and voting rights
to women in the military and even saving the environment one pig at a time.
You'll have to tune in to understand that last part.
So subscribe now and join the rebellion.
Campfire.